Hey, this is Kevin Weatherby of Say the Cowboy. I want you to toe that stirrup, throw a leg over the cantle, take a deep seat, and pull your hat down tight. I ain't gonna tolerate no whining or griping, so let's all strike a long trot down that narrow trail and learn how to ride with God. Come on! What you waiting on? Let's go.
Welcome to Save the Cowboy, everybody. Good morning. My name is Kevin Weatherby. I'm the founder of Save the Cowboy, and we've been doing this since about 2011 in the beautiful town of Kiowa, Colorado, which if you're watching online and don't know where Kiowa, Colorado is, it's just kind of halfway between Denver and Colorado Springs and some of the most beautiful ranch country you've ever seen in your life. So it's good to have everybody here this morning. We've got a packed house, some familiar faces. Always love to see some new faces. And if I haven't personally met you yet, please come talk to me. I mean, there's only one of me. There's about 100 to 125 or 150 here. That's a lot for me to wade through. So if I haven't met you yet, would you please come up, introduce yourself to me. I want to meet you. So second thing is, if you're watching online and you get something out of this, man, send us an email. Send it and just tell us what you like about it. And we always love to hear from people. And we want you to know that when you become a part of Save the Cowboy, whether local or somewhere else, or join the Long X Ranch Cowboys, which is kind of our discipleship for people that don't live here, but people that live here as well are welcome and encouraged. So we very much appreciate y'all. And if you have your Bibles today, turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Way back in the last century, I was going to college at Texas Tech University. And for a small town cowboy kid from Big Lake, Texas, Texas Tech was, there was more people at Tech than there was in my hometown. As a matter of fact, whenever I started my, I started the summer session, so there wasn't a lot of kids there. I graduated in May and went to, and started school in July because I wanted out of Big Lake. I wanted on my own, start my life. And I remember the first fall semester, my 8 a.m. class was Chem 1301, chemistry. And my class number, why I remember this, I have no idea. But I sat down in my class and we had assigned seating by alphabetical order. And my class number was 326. 326. That means there was, up until W-E-A-T-H-E-R-B-Y, I was the 326th person in that class. Now, you have to understand, my high school had 300 people. I'd never seen that many people in an all-school assembly. And here I was, sitting in a chemistry class with more people than was with in my high school. And by the end of that semester, I sat in that classroom and I remember vividly, this is in December 1992, I'm showing my age, and I remember vividly thinking, I hate this. I cannot stand this. Now, I just came off of Rockerby Ranch, you know, big, beautiful 270 plus square mile ranch to now an apartment in Lubbock, Texas. And I remember thinking, is this God's plan for my life? Really? Is this really where He wants me? 6 months later, I am on a ranch in South Texas as a paid cowboy. This is in June of 1993. And I was so excited to have my first ranch job that wasn't tied to my daddy. You know what I mean? Like, now I'm, you know, 18 years old, got my first paid cowboy job on another ranch that had nothing to do with my daddy. Now, this ranch job that I got, it was it was $600 a month with room and board. And my board, my board was that they would provide my meat. I had to, if I wanted to eat veggies, so obviously I was on a carnivore diet, right? I was about 30 miles outside of town and drove a single cab 1981 Chevy pickup four-wheel drive with a 454 in it. You had to fill up at the ranch, at the store, and by the time you got back to the ranch, you were out, right? And I remember walking in to my first full day, and I open up my refrigerator, and there's a can of baking soda in it. And I'm like, well, there's that. And I open up the, it's one of those freezers that you pull out of the bottom, you know what I mean? And I pull, my grandmother had one of those always growing up. Every time I see one of those, I think about her. And he pulled it out, and there was my stock load of meat. So I shut the drawer, and I walked over, because by now, I was the only person that spoke English that lived on the ranch. So the ranch manager didn't speak English, and the three cowboys didn't speak English. But I walked over there with my broken Spanish, and I said, ¿Dónde está mi carne? Where's my meat? And they said, oh, it's in la casa. It's in the house. And so finally, I told them, I said, well, all that's in there in my freezer is a hacked off back rump and leg of a pig that still has the hair on it. And they said, well, yes, he's está muy bien, it's good, it's good. So being 18 years old, you don't call your dad and go, what do I do? Right? Because now I'm a man, I got my own job, right? So I pull the pork leg out. You shave off the parts that don't look that good, and you just get you a big old little pork steak right there, and you just eat it till it's gone, and that's what I did. But the first time I did that, I was thinking, is this God's plan for my life? Is this really what He wants me to do? Today, we're going to talk about that. What is God's plan for your life? What is it? How many times have you asked yourself this question? What is God's plan for my life? What does God want me to do? Okay? Today, we're going to answer that question by telling you what that is not. Okay? Because it didn't matter if I was sitting in a well-air-conditioned classroom learning not to be a chemist, I promise you that. It wasn't to learn to be a chemist. But then transition that to what I thought I wanted was on a ranch by myself, learning Spanish and working with some of the best cowboys that God ever created, I still ask myself the same question. Two diametrically opposed situations, and I'm still asking myself, is this really what God wants for my life? See, the first thing you have to understand before you can ever know what God's plan for your life is that God's, and listen, let me tell you, you're going to disagree with me on some of this, okay? All I ask is not that you believe me, that you'll listen until the end, okay? Listen until the end. See, the first thing that we have to understand is that God's plan for your life isn't at a location. It does not include a vocation, and it does not include a habitation. God's plan, there is nowhere on earth that God says, you must live right here in this house doing this job, or your life is not within my plan that I have for you. I want you to understand that. Don't ever have to ask yourself again, is this God's plan for my life that I live, work, and reside at a certain location? Because that is not God's plan for your life. So what I have inadvertently done, well, maybe not inadvertently, intentionally done for me, inadvertently to you, is I have just taken a huge part of my cracking teenage voice. Yes, I heard that. Exactly. God doesn't care where you live, what you do, or what kind of house you drive, what kind of car you drive. He don't care. You are worrying about stuff that God's like, you're an idiot. In the lovingest way possible, why are you worried about this? Live wherever you want to live. You want to be a cowboy? Go be a cowboy. You want to be a doctor? Go be a doctor. You want to be a school teacher? Just insert your career, past, present, and future in there, and you know what God's going to say? I don't care. I don't care. Right? What does God really want me to do? Also going back to the same century, the first time I was ever asked personally for a reason was in the late 1900s that I got asked for my very first autograph. A kid walked up to me and said, well, he didn't really walk up. See, let me set the stage for you. I was working for Bad Company Rodeo out of Del Rio, Texas. And I had every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off. And none of my friends that worked at the prison had every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off. So while I wanted to go do something on the weekend, a lot of times shift work guys, they couldn't do anything. Well, I had every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off because I worked 4-10s Monday through Thursday. And so I went to work for Bad Company Rodeo on the weekends, and I traveled with them, and we'd go around, and man, you want to talk about some cool experiences. I mean, I have led Tuff Hedeman's oldest son, Lane. I've led him on Party Animal, which was a Bramer bull that Bad Company had, and I've led Tuff Hedeman's son around when he was this little Lane, that big on Party Animal, you know. And I've sat right next to Monty Hawkeye Henson, and I knew all the big rodeo clowns of that time, you know, Smurf Horton and people like that. But one of my jobs during the bronc riding was to get all of the flanks lined up. And once I had all of the flanks lined up in the loading chutes and on the chutes, then when the event started, I went in and I gathered up the flank straps. That was my job. And I was walking down in Pecos, Texas on the north side of the arena there, and there's all these box seats, and I was in my Bad Company shirt. It's like this cow skull with turned down horns, says Bad Company on it. I got me a neckerchief on it. Now, I look cool. And I'm walking down through here with my flank straps, and all of a sudden I hear, excuse me, sir. And I turn and I look, and there's about a 10-year-old boy right there, and he goes, can I have your autograph? I was like, you sure can, son. I grabbed that marker and I found a Bad Company page and I put, keep your toes out, Kevin Weatherby. That was the first time I got asked for my autograph. The last time I was asked for my autograph was this week. And I give my autograph all the time. I sign books that I've written. I send out things, right? Listen, if you want to know what God's plan for your life is, let me tell you what it's not. See, I've had some of the most grand adventures that a man could ever ask for. I've been employed as a cowboy on several really big ranches in Texas, rough, hot, everything will try to poke you, stab you, eviscerate you, bite you, sting you, and loved it, right? I've been employed on a cowboy on several really big ranches in Texas, and I've helped out on dozens more, bigger and smaller. I've rode the rough string on ranches. Most of the time, that's what I did. I rode the rough string on ranches, but I've done something most cowboys have never done. I rode the rough string in a prison. Now, I was in prison for 7 years, employed. Not incarcerated, employed. And I worked in the field force. I worked horseback, carried a gun every single day, right? So I've rode the rough string, but when I worked at the prison, let me tell you what, prison ponies don't stand. I'd take a res pony over a prison pony, okay? That's a lot. That's a lot. I'd take a res pony. I'd take a paint from Cowhand Sale Barn. I would take an Appaloosa off of Craigslist before I took a prison pony. Okay? Now, I'm offending everybody, I know. I'm trying. Not really. I'm making a joke. So I've rode the rough string on ranches and for a prison. I've also aimed a loaded and cocked gun at another man's center mass from about me to the front row, protecting another human being while horseback. That's not fun, guys. That's not fun. Because those that have done that very thing didn't fault me when I tell them that after it was over, I shook violently, that I'd almost taken somebody else's life. It's an adventure. Don't get me wrong. It's an adventure. But that one wasn't a fun adventure. Might make for a pretty cool story because it all worked out well. But I've done some really cool things in my life. I'm a professionally paid and published author. My first professionally published book comes out in May. It's already done. I'm on the radio in 5 states. Oh, by the way, if you're watching right now and you want to have Save the Cowboy on your radio station, let us know. admin@savethecowboy.com. And by the way, just so you know, when you just to avoid Kelly being overrun with her email, that means you'll pay for it. Just so you know, don't just, hey, get on my radio station and y'all pay for it. No, that's not what I mean. We give money. We give all of our money to giving food away. If you'd like to host, if Save the Cowboys brought you something, let's bring it there. So I'm also the pastor of one of the largest and most recognized cowboy ministries in the nation. And y'all are attending one of the largest and most well-recognized cowboy ministries in the whole nation, whether you believe it or not. Thank you. I own an oil well, several of them, as a matter of fact. I own 3.33% of the 20% royalties that about 100 of us share. Right there. I will take y'all for a Big Mac one day with my royalties. I own an oil well. I own a solar farm, right? And all of that goes to pay for the 162 dogs we have at the house. And listen, I tell y'all that because I know some of you are like, well, what's he gonna do? Just sit up there and brag? No, actually I'm not. Because I wish every single one of y'all could experience most of those things, not all of them. I wish every one of y'all could experience those things for one reason, so that you'll know that that's not it. That's not what you're looking for. It's not. You may think it is. You may think that having this big, nice, fancy horse with that horse trailer and living quartered horse trailer, you just fill in the blanks with what you think would make you happy, and it won't. It won't. I wish every single one of y'all could experience the things that I've experienced and more so that you could see that that is not God's plan for your life. That is not God's plan for your life. And I know that that can be difficult sometimes because it sounds like I'm dashing on hopes and dreams, and I'm not, because none of that is God's plan for your life, because everything that I just told y'all about, that's just a lot of life, a little bit of luck, and a lot of hard work. It's just life. I'm the first to admit, it's a lot of life, a little bit of luck. I didn't do anything for those oil wells. People that came before me did those, right? I didn't do anything for that. So it's just a lot of life, a little luck, and a lot of hard work. That is not God's plan for your life. Fame, fortune is not God's plan for your life, okay? It may happen, but that's not God's plan for your life. Did I ever tell you how Cammie and I met? I know a few of you know personally. You know how me and Cammie met? Reserve your judgment, you heathens. I hadn't said it yet. Reserve your judgment, you heathens. I met my beautiful wife, but I met somebody else first. I met her son on an online dating platform. What did I say? What did I say? Reserve your judgment. Because see, my wife couldn't post a selfie if you press the button for her. She hates technology. She just can't stand it. Well, her oldest son, who's in the Air Force now, God bless him and all of our other servicemen and women, put her on Facebook, has a dating app within it. Most of you didn't know that. And a buddy of mine said, try out this Facebook dating. I said, fine, let's do it. So I was scrolling through and I came across this lady named Cammie Wallace, and she was hot. And I was like, swipe right. I never heard back from her. But about 2 weeks later, he was with his mama. And he's the one that put her on Facebook dating because he thought his mama needed to have a husband instead of just being single and struggling, a single mom, right? And so every time they were around, he would grab her phone and he would check all of the people that wanted to meet Cammie. And he never showed her one person. Not one person, but one day he went, Mom, you actually might like this one. And that's how I met my future bride. It's an amazing story. I love it. What else I learned during that experience is that I had one reply in all of my Facebook dating. And it was from her. Preachers' profiles on online dating don't do that great. I don't know why. I don't know. And listen, there's something to be said to y'all single ladies out there. There was a preacher that owned an oil well, published author and everything, that was on a dating profile, and nobody wanted any piece of that. Right? So I met her, and we dated for a while, and then I knew that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. So one October afternoon, I got to marry the prettiest girl on the prettiest overlook in the whole world. That is a shameless plug for Younger Ranch. Please give them a call this year for your, or next year or the year after for all of your wedding venue needs. But listen, she's not just the prettiest, she's also the kindest, strongest, bravest, and most loving person I have ever met. Amen. ever met. Thank you. Many might say that I married up. Many have told me that I outpunted my coverage. Many say that I got lucky. Do I think that? No, I don't. I don't think I married up. I don't think I outpunted my coverage. And I really, quite frankly, I don't think that I got lucky. Because see, Cammie, she knows what I'm fixing to say. Because I tell her this every single day. You are my great reward. You are my great reward. See, that's what Proverbs 31 says about women like her. To her husband, they are a great reward. You're not out punting your coverage. That's to throw dirt on what God has given me, right? She's my great reward for a life lived well, according to God's standards, to the best of my ability at any given moment. And sometimes that ain't much. Sometimes it's a lot. Because see, God's plan for your life isn't even in who you're going to marry. Because if there was, let me tell you, and I know a lot of you are like, oh, that's bull, that can't be right. No, it is. Let me tell you why. If there was one person for us to marry for God's plan, what do you think would be the first thing we screwed up? That right there. We would screw that up. Man, listen. Good husbands or wives aren't a plan. They're a blessing, a great reward from God. Okay, well, let me say that part again, and if I don't hear at least 50 to 60 amens, we're going to be here till 5 o'clock p.m. talking about biblical marriage. Let me repeat that, just because I know all of you kind of nodded off there for a second. Good husbands or wives aren't a plan. They are a blessing from God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so what have we learned today? We've learned that God's plan for your life isn't a location, vocation, or habitation, right? That's not God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life doesn't include, or maybe, no, it doesn't, shouldn't say include, doesn't involve fame or fortune. Okay? Young people, God's plan for your life isn't to make you rich and famous. I'm sorry. That is not God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life isn't even who you're going to marry. Okay? So what is God's plan for our life? Maybe to be more specific, we can ask the age-old question. What does God want you to do then? Seriously, what does God want you to do? Okay? The answer is found in John chapter 6, verse 29. And if you never memorize another Bible verse, would you please jot down on your phone, send yourself a text, do something, because this verse will change your life. John chapter 6, verse 29. Let me read it to you. Jesus, not Paul, not Luke, not Matthew, Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from me. Now, what is a work? It's a plan. It's an action. It's something that God wants you to do. This is the only thing God wants you to do, or maybe requires you to do. Okay? There's only one thing. Believe in the one that he sent. Believe in the one that he sent. That is God's plan for your life. It's not who you're going to marry. It doesn't include fame and fortune. It doesn't include a location, vocation, or habitation. God's plan for your life in Jesus' own words. The only God, the only work God wants from you is to believe in the one he has sent. That is the plan. That is the plan that he wants you to do. Listen, you don't need to live or work somewhere crazy or cool to know what God wants you to do. You don't need to look for headlines or Coke lines in God's plan for your life, meaning fame and fortune, okay? You don't need to marry a certain person, which we would just mess that up. We've already talked about that. Listen, think about the parable of the 10 servants, and this is real quick. We're right at the end. The parable of the 10 servants, if you've never read it, it goes something like this. A master, I use a ranch setting. Rancher goes and has three cowboys and he says, hey, I tell y'all what, I'm gonna give y'all some money. Y'all use it to make this place better. Yes, sir. And he leaves. That's all he says. I just, here, do something with this. Right? He never told them what to do, where to go. Quite frankly, he was trying to figure out who they were. And at the end of it, one of the guys does a lot. He uses the money, goes buys a couple of a brood mares and a stud, and then he breaks all three of them, and then he breeds them, and when the boss comes back, the boss has, what would that be, 2, 4, 5 horses instead of 0, right? That's what the first guy did. The second guy, he did the same thing with just one stud and one mare. But when the boss got back, he had 3 horses. The other cowboy was so stuck, unsure of what the boss wanted him to do, that he did nothing. And when the boss came out, he said, take everything given to this no account cowboy that didn't do nothing and give it to the one that did a lot and throw that guy off the ranch. And then he turns to his other two and he says, well done, my good and faithful servants. See, God's not going to tell you what he wants to do because he wants to reveal who you really are. God doesn't care what you do. He cares who you are. And then it doesn't matter what you do. When the right Christian person is doing anything, they will be effective because of their heart, not because of their hands. Not because of their hands. Listen, let me tell you, and we're done. Let me tell you how to start God's real plan for your life right now, okay? Listen close. First thing, if you want to fulfill God's plan for your life, believe that Jesus died, was buried, and came back to life so that your sins could be forgiven forever and you can start a new life devoted to him. That's the first part of God's plan. That's what John 6:29 says. It's not just believe Jesus was real. That belief has to turn into a life-changing thing in your life. Just thinking that Jesus was real and probably died on a cross does nothing for you. Knowing that he died for you and you alone, that wells up inside of you a brand new plan, not pigeonholed into something specific, but wide open. Listen, God gives us complete freedom within a boundary. Sins fall outside that boundary. Everything God wants falls inside. Everything that God doesn't want falls outside that boundary. The crazy part is most of us will spend our entire lives walking the fence, trying to figure out if we can get out and back in before anybody notices. And you've done it too. I've done it too. We've all done it. But see, here's the miracle. When you believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and was raised to life again for the forgiveness of your sins to offer you salvation at no cost except to believe, a life-changing belief, the inside of that boundary is bigger than the outside. There's more on the inside than there is on the outside, and yet we spend our lives in about this much of what God wants us to do because we're so busy trying to walk the fences of God's boundary, trying to have the best of both worlds. You can't. You got to choose one. Jesus himself said it. No man can serve two masters. You're either in or you're out. Okay? So what does a life devoted to him look like? It means giving him. And before y'all think, listen, in the last part of Leviticus, the only part of Leviticus, I told you about that I had a life-changing moment. This was it. See, a devoted life, a faithful life looks like this. You trust him with the outcome of every single thing in your life. The safety of your children, the safety of your spouse, where you live, what you do. You give him the outcome of every single thing in your life, especially what's the hardest thing in your life right now. What causes you the most of everything? Give it to him today. That right there, if you want to follow God's plan. Give him the outcome. Quit trying to force things in your favor. Let God use you to bless other people's lives. Give God the outcome of where you're going to go to school, what job you're going to have. And I'm not saying that now you just get to sit back in the recliner and do nothing all day, okay? Now, if you want to do that, come study the Bible with me. We'll sit for a long time, right? So you can sit on your butt and still do something. But listen, finally, it means a devoted life, means being strong enough to put others before you in all things in every situation. Not some people, all people. You put others before you in every single situation to the greatest of your abilities. And I'm going to leave you with one sentence that if you can remember this, it will get you into God's plan for your life. I said that being devoted to God means being strong enough to put others before you in all things and in all situations. Okay? And here it is. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, but people will be able to take advantage of you, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. But here's the kicker. If your love cannot be taken advantage of, you're doing it for yourself. If you cannot be taken advantage of, if your love cannot be taken advantage of, you are living for yourself and yourself alone. Amen. Let's go to God. God, you left us on a hard spot, but you never leave us on a bad spot. God, you are so amazing that you say to me, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn from me, for I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. God, you have given us the rest that we can have right now. Rest from worrying about the outcomes of things that we have zero control over in the grand scheme of things. God, let us focus on you and who you would have us be. And that person that you would have us be, God, is a son and daughter of yours. Let us rejoice and relax in that God's plan will be done as long as we believe and stay devoted to him in that belief. God, I pray right now that when we fill that baptism up on Easter Sunday morning with already one person in it, that Jesus started off his ministry with baptized by immersion at 30 years old. And we, God, I pray that many people that say they want to follow you but have not made their own decision at an age of accountability where they know that they have sinned and that they deserve hell, will decide to follow you into your death, burial, and resurrection so they can start a new life with you. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving us when we don't deserve it. And God, we love you too. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.